Howard, it's Bateman, Patrick Bateman. You're my lawyer, so I think you should know I've killed a lot of people. Some escort girls in an apartment uptown. Some homeless people, maybe 5 or 10. An NYU girl I met in Central Park. I left her in a parking lot behind some donut shop. I killed Bethany, my old girlfriend, with a nail gun. And some old faggot with a dog. Last week, I killed another girl with a chainsaw. I had to. She almost got away. Someone else there, I can't remember, maybe a model, but she's dead too. And Paul Allen. I killed Paul Allen with an axe in the face. His body is dissolving in a bathtub in Hell's Kitchen. I don't want to leave anything out here. I guess I've killed maybe 20 people. Maybe 40. I have tapes of a lot of it. Some of the girls have seen the tapes. I even, I ate some of their brains. And I tried to cook a little. Tonight, I just had to kill a lot of people. And, I'm not sure I'm gonna get away with it this time. I guess I'm a pretty sick guy. So, if you get back tomorrow, I may show up at Harry's bar. So, you know, keep your eyes open.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men. And indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Thursday, June 9th, 2005. And in case you haven't noticed, this would be Newsreel, your daily report as the wall counterculture defeats the evil of corporate political tyranny. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too, you little terrorist, you. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. Currently, you can achieve live journal status by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Once you're there, you too will have all the healing powers that my live journal will be still. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, and OspreyRadio.info. As well, it's currently coming from your iPod, because we do podcasting. And if you're not into the podcasting thing because you don't happen to have an Apple iPod, then oh well. But if you do have an Apple iPod, you should be definitely making sure that you get this bloody TV radio experience onto your iPod, because that's the best thing to do. And always remember that you are in fact free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit, especially if you see an unsupervised iPod station sitting there and no one's got it already downloading to their iPod. What better way to say I love you and I have no respect for your own personal choices than to simply start adding the Newsreel show to their iPodcast? I mean, what the hell, huh? So let's get straight into some feedback. I love this feedback, especially the ones that are in broken English. Hey, Mr. Kennedy. Now, of all my intros, I didn't put that. That one's actually how it was addressed to me. Hey, Mr. Kennedy. I really love your show. I always watch it, but when I saw you on SKTFM.TV, you said the FNP90 was from Finland? Question mark, question mark. Well, I am Belgian, and I should note it's Belgian. Same country as beer. Hope I get reply ever. You should come to Europe through WOGs are heavily needed here. Keep up the awesome work. I watch the shows over and over again on Winamp. Well, very, very cool. Glad that you like the show over in Belgium. I do know we have some Belgium listeners, and I will go anywhere that there is beer. And currently, a good friend of mine, Venom, may be heading over to Europe sometime soon. So if there's anybody in the France region and around there, or tooling around, who wants to maybe hook up with some rant people, let me know, and I'll see if I can hook up some excursions. But you better not have any shitty parties to go to, because we're only looking for the good parties. New mail. Hey, Sean, I'd like to check back with that guy who emailed you about the ADHD. Without a doubt, it is overprescribed. It definitely does exist, though. After doing a lot of reading about the disorder, there is no doubt in my mind that I have it. It's not simply vague symptoms like being hyper or lack of concentration. No, no, that would be me. Specific characteristics exist in the ADHD brain that show up along brain scans. Ooh, yeah, but I've never been for a brain scan. I'm scared they won't find one. Your mind feels like it's trying to watch 10 TVs at once on full volume while the channels change. Wow. You know, I'd have to, like, I'd hack that for sure. I mean, I don't know what I'd have to do with my computer, but those channels would keep changing. You know those people who fucking surf and change channels? I hate that shit. The brain needs a very high amount of stimulus to do anything. This is why myself and others with the disorder start all kinds of projects and move on to something else an hour after the novelty wears off. Oh, God. Oh, God, I've got it, too. Parts of the brain actually start to shut down if you try to fight it. Really? As far as treatment goes, I've never touched the ADHD drugs and plan on finding natural solutions first. I've been taking ginkgo for the past 3 months, very, very good, and wow, that stuff helps a ton. Yes, well, that's what happens when you're taking arguably the oldest herb known to man. It's older than garlic. I recommend it to anyone who's taking drugs to give this stuff a try instead. Yes, ginkgo, what it does actually is increases the oxygen content of your blood. And of course, no one ever talks about brain nutrition, which is why there's a few books, one by Michael Hutchison, Mega Brain Boosters, really good book. You should be definitely, everyone listening to this broadcast needs to make sure they get enough brain nutrition. And if you're a little bit older, such as myself, I mean, I'm 31, so that practically makes me grandfatherly in the grand scheme of WOG culture, make sure that you start loading up on the ADHD. And when you get a little bit older, if you can't sleep, try some valerian root or some melatonin, because apparently back in the early 90s, they were doing rats with got heavy life extension by using melatonin when they sleep. But carrying on with the email. It won't help 100%, that's the ginkgo, but it's safe and has no side effects. It's cheap, and it's great starting point for base future treatment upon. Yes, everyone should be taking ginkgo. Go to your local mom-and-pop natural food store and ask about it. It's usually cheap. Get it for about $17-$18. Get the good stuff for around $15, a month's supply of pills. Avoid the cheap garbage because you'll know you get what you pay for. Other things like exercise, very good for you, change of diet, and valerian root for sleep can work wonders as well. Knowledge is power, so read all you can get a hold of. Yes, definitely, and read everything you can download, because after all, although there's a lot of disinformation on the web, there is a lot of really good information there as well. Beware when looking for herbal solutions online, because there are tons of people selling all-in-one herbal ADHD cures. I haven't heard about them really helping anyone. You're better off trying your herbs separately and experimenting. I'm the same way. I don't really like a lot of combined vitamins. I don't really dig on that. You know, I don't mind taking a couple of pills in the morning. Thanks, Sean, for having an open mind about this stuff. Well, I try. If I didn't have ADHD, I would probably call bullshit on it, too. Yes, but you have ADHD, and you wouldn't be able to focus long enough to do that. Oh, what a slam. If you're interested in reading more on it, I can probably send you a book. No, no books for me. I have a stack that you would not believe. Seriously. I have a stack that no human could possibly make of books in my study that I have to read, and I'm just recently, you know, trying to get into that. Reading that Altered Carbon book. Can't remember what it's called. New book. First author, first time, first novel. It's called Altered Carbon. Very sexy. I'm only about one third into it, so I can't say the book is a good book, because you know those books you read, like, oh, I don't know, anything by, well, you know, yeah, I don't want to slam any authors, but there's a lot of authors out there, right? The first half of the book kicks ass, or the first three quarters of the book kicks ass, and then all of a sudden, you know, they kind of lose their mind in the last quarter of the book. Sort of like what I did with After Now. First season, yay. Second season, yay. Third season, not so much. If nothing else, please read the two paragraphs on the top about the treatment on the show, as it will help people. And that's from an anonymous source. Very, very cool. Now, I got another email here. Hey, Sean. Honcho. Remember, we were talking to Sim. He wants to have the name Head Honcho. Isn't that right, Sim? Honcho comes from the Japanese Han Cho. H-A-N-C-H-O. And there's a bunch of numbers here. Han means squad. Cho means leader. So, actually, Honcho would be Head Honcho would be the squad leader. Also, you're talking about South Korea. South Korea is a worldwide leader in broadband internet. Everyone has cell phones, a huge online gaming community. And as well, go watch Gattaca again! I keep saying this until you stop calling the UK the Gattaca State. I'm not saying UK isn't doing some screwed up stuff, just that you're missing the Gattaca State. Orwellian might be more appropriate, as overused term as that is. Gattaca wasn't about rights or lack thereof. It was about how genetic engineering is bad for people who aren't genetically engineers. Don't make the mistake that I'm mad or anything. It's just that you're misusing the idea. Now, I've been accused of a lot of things in my day, and I really like the concept of me being accused of misusing ideas. And that's from Gal. Lots of love going out to Gal, but I'm not going to stop doing the Gattaca State thing. Aw, Muffet. Into the news, Netrunner News. A London man described as the world's biggest computer hacker. If he's the world's biggest computer hacker, what is he, 600 pounds? Has been arrested. Gary McKinnon, who's 39, was seized at the Met's extradition unit at his Wood Green home. An unemployed former computer engineer is accused of causing U.S. government $1 billion of damage by breaking into his most secure computers at the Pentagon and NASA. He is likely to be extradited to America to face ace counts of computer crime in 14 states and could be jailed for 70 years. 70 years. Meanwhile, they got mass murderers raping and sexually torturing women and children, and they get like 7. But this son of a bitch, oh, no, no. No, no, you're looking at information, you get 70 fucking years. A former Highgate Wood comprehensive pupil was granted bail today at Bow Street Magistrates Court. Me, I'd fucking run. Personally, yeah, I'd bolt. Most of the alleged hacking, took place between 2001 and 2002. At one stage, U.S. thought it was the work of an Al-Qaeda terror network. Yeah, well, every time a CIA operative trips and lands on his dick, he thinks it's the, I couldn't get myself off last night. Must be the Al-Qaeda. Friends said he broke into the networks from his home computer trying to prove his theory that the U.S. was covering up the existence of UFOs. Well, you know, that's pretty noble. I mean, really. I mean, you know, he's talking about whether or not the U.S. is covering up the existence of UFOs. And if they are covering up the existence of UFOs, don't you think that that's worthy to get exposed? I mean, his motive was pretty noble. He's accused of a series of hackings and offenses, including deleting critical files from military computers. Why? That doesn't fit with motive. Nice try. Good spin, though. Try harder. The U.S. authorities said the cost of tracking him down and correcting the alleged problems was more than £570,000. The offenses could also see him fined up to £950,000. That's like $2 million if found guilty on the charges. Okay. So we got a guy who's trying to figure out whether or not aliens are real. You're going to slap him with $2 million in fines and throw him in jail for 70 fucking years? Methinks thou doth protest too much. Maybe perhaps he was getting close to something. I'd be interested to find out if he found anything in the whole UFO. You know, he wasn't going in there to get medical files. He's not going in there to, sell information. He wasn't even after credit card data. All this guy wanted to know was whether or not aliens are real. Quite arguably one of the most significant things in human culture. So should he face time? Does the punishment fit the crime? I say no. But of course, we've got to send a clear message to all those young people out there where we're going to say he's obviously the world's biggest hacker. Never mind Kevin Mitnick. Never mind all the hackers that don't get caught. Never mind all the hackers that are stealing all this identity theft data that's in the news every goddamn day. Never mind any of that. No. We have to get this guy who's going after the UFOs. Holy shit. In Desert War News. St. Louis, June 8, 2005. More than a decade after the first Gulf War in 1991, a detailed comparison of health of veterans who were deployed in the Persian Gulf region and veterans who served elsewhere found that the health of the two groups is very similar. However, the study also found that Gulf War veterans are more likely to have chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia syndrome. The proportion of Gulf War veterans with these two illnesses is very small, according to lead author Seth Eisen, MD, physician at St. Louis Veterans Affairs Medical Center, professor of medicine and psychiatry at the Washington University of Medicine in St. Louis. But that doesn't mean these conditions aren't serious concerns for those veterans who still have them 10 years later. Now, if you think you're going to have problems with the vets from the first Gulf War, wait until these new boys come home, Eisen said. Of course, he didn't say that stuff about the new boys coming home. That was just me. Fibromyalgia syndrome afflicts sufferers with persistent widespread pain. Chronic fatigue syndrome leaves sufferers with disabling loss of energy. Despite decades of awareness on both conditions, their causes remain unclear and no definitive cure exists on either condition. Now, what I think these are just another more physical manifestation of the black shakes. People, human beings, generally, we evolve very slowly, okay? Our bodies evolve very slowly. And in the last 50 years, suddenly, we've got the ability to transport ourselves physically all over the world into different temperature climates and be exposed to realities that in no way we would be exposed to before. Like when you think about when the guys came home from the Second World War and stuff like that, these guys were all fucked up. They were messed right up. First World War, all fucked up. But they do like, you know, a few years on the front, come home, and then they'd be fucked up. And now it's years later, and people are like, wow, people are coming home from the war all fucked up. Why is that? Well, I don't know. Why don't you look at every other fucking war we've had in the last 200 years and ask me that question again? Why are the vets coming back fucked up? Because it's war. Hello. This is why war generally is a bad idea. Not popular. Not good for the kids, you know? So when you start sending kids over to die for oil to make sure Halliburton can keep its profits up, you might want to reconsider that, in fact, you're going to be getting back a whole bunch of combat-trained, experienced, angry people who are upset with corporations who have got battle training. Consider this. You think you got a problem with me in patrolling? Ho, ho, ho. Wait until you get some of these guys coming back here all pissed off at the core political. I think I sense a sniper in a bell tower sometime soon. That's going to be the new cause. Everyone's worried about the kids getting crazy, shooting up their parents, shooting up the school, shooting up their friends and family. I give you, within the next 5 years, you want another After Now projecting? Or projection? Projection or prediction? You want another After Now thing? Here's my prediction for the next 5 years. You're going to see more and more psycho vets going nuts. And you know what? That's in no way a slam on vets. I feel really bad for these guys. And more than anything else, I wish there's something I could do for them. Anything that I could do for vets, you know, I would do. If I thought it would help by going over there, I probably would, to be honest to God. But realistically, you know, when I get these emails back from people who are listening to the show or checking out After Now when they're out in theater, you know, I hope that helps. But beyond that, I mean, these people are going to need real help. If we don't start factoring for it now, if we don't start getting ready for it now, well, shit's really going to go sideways, isn't it? Now, check this out. We've got some augmented surveillance news. Computer scientists at the University of California, San Diego, have taken the wraps off a new technique for mixing images and video feeds from mobile cameras in the field to provide remote viewers with a virtual window into a physical environment. Dubbed Reality Fly-Through, an application constructs a 3D virtual environment dynamically out of live video streams. What does this sound? What does this look like? Well, think of sort of, from what I can see, kind of a cave system that while you're in your little pod observance holodeck kind of room, you're able to look around in a 360 degrees real time. And because of these cameras, you are effectively like an invisible observer through digital means. Very, very neat. Check this out. Instead of watching all the feeds simultaneously on a bank of monitors, the viewer can navigate an integrated interactive environment as if it were a video game. Well, that's cool, said UCSD computer science and engineering professor Bill Griswold, not related to the Chevy Chase character, who is working on the project with PhD candidate Neil McCurdy. Reality Fly-Through creates the illusion of a complete live camera coverage in a physical space. It's a new form of situational awareness, and we designed a system that can work in unforgiving environments with intermittent network connectivity. At the University of California, you say, not connected to the Army at all. No. Especially that nice little thing at the end here. We designed a system that can work in unforgiving environments with intermittent network connectivity. No. No military application for surveillance in an occupied country there. Yes, Iraq is free. They're free with large U.S. bases being built in four locations in order to keep the people right where we want them. In power armor news from Sumerian, holy hard on, this is just hot. Japan has taken a step into the science fiction world with its release of a robot suit that can help workers lift heavy loads or assist people with disabilities climb stairs. You want to go there, you want to look at the photos, this is a production model. Humans may be able to mutate into Superman in the near future, says Yoshiki Sankai, professor and engineer at Tsukuba University who led the project. Sorry for murdering your name, but I only want the power armor. The 15-kilogram, 33-pound battery unit suit, battery-powered suit, so 33 pounds battery-powered suit, weighs as much as a fully loaded USAS-12 shotgun. Codenamed HAL-5. Detects muscle movement through electrical signal flows on skin surface and then amplifies them. That is power armor, any way you cut that. It can also move on its own accord, enabling it to help elderly people or handicapped people walk. Oh my God. The prototype suit, which looks hot, looks production capable, will be displayed at the World Exposition and is currently taking place in Aichi Prefecture in central Japan. Japan has seen a growing market for technology geared toward the elderly, who are making up an increasing chunk of the population as fewer younger Japanese choose to start families. Now, there's a trend you're going to start seeing in North America really soon. That's one of the reasons why in Canada, I think that there's a lot of push being put towards a lot of immigration, because a lot of people who come from these countries like India and China or stuff like that, a lot of these folks, they like to have large families. And that's good for the economy, because if you look at the population increase, people in Canada just don't want to have kids because why? It's too expensive, and everybody's more concerned with their quality of life. Now, before in Japan, there used to be a subsect of women called, geez, what were they called? They were called some kind of girls, something girl, or angry girls, or angry women, or something like that. But they started to vilify these women who weren't having families. But, you know, when you start to have a family, you have a kid, well, you get a 23-year sentence and $500,000 in fines. So I don't know why people aren't just chafing at the bit to go have babies, you know. Absolutely, have a child, be a slave. Good plan. A government report last week showed that pensioners made up 19.5% of the country's population in 2004, and that ratio will grow rapidly, surpassing 35% in 2050. However, I'm not too concerned, because as of 2050, as we all know, that's their target date for downloading. Very, very hot. Very happy about the takeover of, the downloading thing. That's very, very cool. And that book I'm reading, Altered Carbon, that also talks about that too. Kind of neat stuff. In robotic takeover news, a Hiroshima University researcher has developed a robot theoretically capable of hitting a baseball traveling as fast as 300 kilometers per hour by instantly analyzing its path and using images captured with precision cameras. Who gives a shit how it does it? Hi, I'm a robot that can catch a 300 kilometers per hour fastball by instantly analyzing its path using images captured with precision cameras, which means that it could probably catch a very low-speed paintball out of the air. Ituku Idaku Ishii, 35, an associate professor at the university's Graduate School of Engineering, says he plans to exhibit the robot at the Prototype Robot Expedition opening next Thursday as part of an ongoing 2005 World Exposition in Arkai Prefecture. Now, what you do is you take this particular robotic technology and apply that to the power armor, and then give it auto-sensing so that people could, huck grenades at you and you could catch them out of the air and throw them back without a single sort of, even a thought. It'd be like an auto-response notion, Very, very cool. I don't know if I could hit a baseball traveling at 300 clicks per hour. I don't know if I could do that, but if the robots can start doing that, you may as well make the robots smile. They never make robots creepy enough, That's my big problem. They got that big, research going on in Japan right now. They got a whole division over there dedicated to making robots friendly looking. They give them big eyes and they give them little eyebrows and they dress them all up so that they look friendly to old people and children and stuff. And I call bullshit, man. I don't want a robot that looks like that. I want a robot that scares the living shit out of people, okay? I want the Ghost in the Shell, innocence, weird ceramic doll robots that look like they're possessed when they're lying still on the floor. That's what you need. Make them a security droid. Who's afraid of some little thing on tank treads? You need to stop here. No, fuck that, man. You want to have mutated clowns with ball joints running through the streets going, get out of the way, or breathing heavy and shit like that. People would not fuck with a robot like that, generally. I don't know why they're doing that, especially if you start throwing bottles at it. Think about it. Some guy goes, takes a rock, throws it at the security droid. The security droid turns, catches the rock out of the midair, and does the Bruce Lee pose down, and then crushes the rock in his hand while smiling. Yeah, that's what I call effective psychological manipulation. Into sentient surveillance news. Very cool. Simon Grewalt. Now, this is a weird piece of tech. I got this from a website called We Make Art, Not Cash. We Make Art, Not Money. One of those. In sentient surveillance news, Simon Greenwald's I Like to Watch, is the name of the program, is a program that watches television. Specifically, it watches cops on Fox. It's not a video. It's a software process that tries to make sense of live video feed. Cops is all it has ever known and probably thinks it is cops. It has started to watch television, the show, from the description and analyzes every frame, searching the field for outlines that remind it of something it has seen, kind of like a friend or foe recognition system. When it recognizes a contour, it tags it with a guess as to what might be going on, gathered from its experience of words and pictures that go together. Sometimes tries to put words in the mouth of characters. Cop vision is funny when commercials come on because it doesn't know that it isn't cops and keeps watching it the same way. I like the idea of writing software that do things that humans enjoy doing to see if the computer might actually react in some way as us. It's going to be some artist like this that takes this kind of a program and uploads it to that IBM super brain that they're making, and eventually, why not just start with cops? Why not do that with, Iraqi Fallujah feeds, We get, combat training, and then these robots can learn in a dynamic environment how to assess threat situations and very quickly begin to adapt to threat situations by body language and movement, thereby identifying the perpetrators of the situation and can make critical decisions of which to destroy the target. Things like that, maybe. Not that there's, like, you know, any kind of military application for anything like that. Not at all. Not even a little bit. And why in the hell? Why wouldn't you do that with, I don't know, why cops? I would like to wonder what Simon Greenwald's going to do with this particular piece of software. If not, it's a fun experiment to see how memory and vision connect up, something I've been practicing lately. Well, that's a cool idea, but I think it's notable enough for me to mention it on the show because that is kind of crazy. And speaking of crazy, Payback is a bitch news. Listen to this one here. This, I don't know how I feel about this. Let me get through the article. Furious South African women have called for a controversial new anti-rape device dubbed a rat trap to be banned by the government. Now, this is the women calling for this thing to be banned by the government. The tampon-like device invented by a woman supposedly protects women from rapists by cutting into a man's penis. It has sparked an impassioned debate over the high number of rapes committed each day in a country and the authorities' apparent failure to tackle the issue. Now, in South Africa, you got to bear in mind that in regions of Africa, there's like rape is, you know, like a daily occurrence. Okay, it's crazy, crazy, crazy amounts of rape going on down there. The activists are outraged and want to stop it going on sale alongside tampons in chemists and supermarkets next month. Now, this is an anti-rape device. They're selling it like the pharmacy price, okay? This is like at Safeway. This is like crazy, crazy tech. Charlene Smith, a leading anti-rape campaigner, said, "This is a medieval instrument based on male-hating notions and is fundamentally misunderstands the nature of rape and violence against women in this society. It is a vengeful, horrible, and disgusting. Women, the woman who invented this, needs help." I'm going to get through the article before I comment on this. The device, which Sonet Ehers, its inventor, has patented, is worn like a tampon but is hollow. In the event of a rape, she said that it would fold around the rapist's penis and attach itself with microscopic hooks. It is impossible to remove the clamp device without medical intervention. "We have to do something to protect ourselves. While this will not prevent rape, it will help identify attackers and secure convictions," Miss Elser told the Johannesburg Star. So, yeah, throw your dick into a fish tube full of hooks. You know, isn't that just a handy-dandy notion? Now, do I think that this is ethical? I think this is a fan-fucking-tastic idea. Personally, I think this is absolutely great. I have no idea in my mind whatsoever why the anti-rape campaigner says, quote, "This is a medieval instrument based on male-hating notions and fundamentally misunderstands the nature of rape and violence against women in this society." Well, last time I checked, rape is a pretty medieval crime. You know, I mean, it's a crime of violence. You're forcibly violating a woman. So, you know, generally, I'm sort of the opinion that you need to shoot sex offenders anyway. You know, so the fact that this thing just gets, you know, a fishhook tube on the old wiener there, I don't really think that that's really all that horribly, horribly bad. Now, if it, you know, kind of jumped on there and even mangled the guy's dick, who cares? Who cares? He's a rapist. Okay, it's not like you're going to get people who aren't rapists getting this happen to them because, you know, the woman has to say no, right? And then she's forcibly raped. So if it's consensual sex, what do you suppose she's going to remember she's got this thing on? You see what I'm saying? Snow Crash had similar devices like this. You know, I don't think this is a bad thing at all. Hell, I think they should sell it here. If we could use devices like this to get rid of rape, sounds good to me. Very low chance of, shall we say, wrongful prosecution in a case like this. I don't mean to be, you know, totally cold and calculating, but you're talking to the same guy who wants to shoot pedophiles. Speaking of shooting pedophiles, on to some cyberpunk kit. Auto-loading recoilless shotgun. Yes, recoilless shotgun from Pam Media. Now, this is a fully automatic piece of kit here. Now, this article was written from a Soldier of Fortune writer, so it's very rah-rah-rah. But check this out. Except for the noise, shooting the target 12-gauge shells in the AA-12, which is what the gun's called, was like shooting a 22-caliber rimfire machine gun. Really, high brass buckshot and slugs produce more noise than bigger muzzle flash from a CQB model, which means close-quarters battle model. It also increases the cyclic rate, because the gun only fires, I think, 300 rounds per minute, but in the close-quarters battle combat shotgun, it goes up. Which, incidentally, I'd wonder where you'd use a shotgun, if not in close-quarters battle, but in any case. The additional recoil generated was barely worth mentioning. It took two ladies only a couple of short bursts before they were emptying 20-round drums without stopping, and they barely moved. So we're talking about, anyone who's ever fired a machine gun knows, that if you ever try to control, like, an M16 or a C7 or something like that on full auto, forget about it. Okay? You're not hitting your target worth a damn. But if you can take someone with minimum physical capabilities and, you know, have them have a fully loaded shotgun, excuse me while I just, you know, have discovered the new sexy hotness in home defense. That is sweet. What is also impressive is that the single and double shots could easily be obtained because of the relative slow cyclic rate of 300 rounds per minute. Now, that's in the regular model. The CQB model is slightly faster, they said. If two rounds were fired, they both hit the same place out to 25 yards. If you have to shoot something twice at 25 yards with a shotgun and it's still there, you shouldn't be shooting a shotgun at it. Even CTS door-breaching rounds operated by the AA-12, but when using less lethal rounds, the bolt must be cocked each time by hand. I see. So if you're using like beanbag rounds or whatever, you can't go full auto with the rubber bullet. Hornaday Manufacturing Company is looking into the possibility of other specialized 12-gauge ammunition. Now, there's a company in the States called the Blammo Ammo Company out of Texas or Arkansas. I think it was Arkansas. That made, like, Dragon Breath flamethrower rounds, flechette rounds, buck and ball rounds, bolo rounds, two pieces of heavy-gauge ball bearings with, like, 10 inches of wire in between them. Like, really just deranged tissue-damaging shit was coming out of this company. So you can think about, you know, when you can mix and match with a shotgun, wow. You know, what are the capabilities that you can't do, never mind what you can do. It's a well-known fact that the Islamic terrorists killing our troops in Iraq are not afraid of the M4 and its 5.56 bullet, but they're terrified of shotguns. Well, apparently, the 5.56s, you know, that's one problem with 5.56s. And every time there's a war, they do this. Beginning of the war, they give the people low-powered, you know, weapons because, you know, they're thinking, well, it's designed to wound, therefore you take three people out of combat rather than one person out with a 308. Well, if I'm shooting at someone, I want them to die. And that's why there's a number of people going with FNs and M14s and, you know, various weapons that have been chambered up to take a 308 round, which is 7.62 by 51, I'm thinking. Could be 59, I might be off. You can imagine how well they would react to the AA-12 with 20 rounds of buckshot, but that's only half the story. There is something far more effective. Check out the article. Very wild piece of kit. And it can take all your usual TacStar mounts, not that much bigger than a C7 or an M16 for you American types. Very, very cool piece of kit. Hopefully, you know, this will save some lives. Weapons are part of life. You can't get away from them. So you may as well learn all you can about them. Into P2P news. This was from Dead Code. Sweden's anti-piracy group, Antipyrobran, APB, has reported 200 people to the police for breaking copyright laws by exchanging music, games, and films online, according to Sweden's The Local. APB has issued over 400,000 warning letters to suspected file sharers. However, the agency itself is under fire, too. Over 1,000 people have reported APB to the Swedish authorities for breaking personal data laws by collecting IP addresses. Because it needs approval from the Swedish Data Inspection Board, APB has decided to temporarily halt using its own data collection software and report suspects directly to the police, claiming it has other methods than IP addresses for tracing people. Oh, really? You have other methods, do you? They would be what? The Swedish Parliament has just passed a law, effective as of 1 July, banning all file sharing. No more file sharing. I'm going to read that again. That's a full sentence. The Swedish Parliament has just passed a law, effective as of the 1st of July, banning all file sharing. No more freedom of information for you, Sweden. The record industry claims that because file sharing, the sale of CDs and music in Sweden has slumped for a third year running. Last year's sales declined by a massive 17%. Who gives a shit? Why is a corporation telling the Swedish Parliament how to make policy? So what? This is not a government issue. Fortunately for the file swappers, there are now some alternatives. Scandinavians can at last start legally downloading music from Apple's iTunes. Sweden was amongst the last European countries to get the service, apparently because it's still, along with Switzerland, Norway, and Denmark, runs its own currency. What the fuck that has anything to do with Apple's iTunes, I have no idea. But I guess this is some kind of a slag to get people on board with the euro or whatever. I don't know. Seems a little odd to me. Now, I've got a reality check here, and I'm going to need some feedback from you guys out there in the world about this particular thing. Now, this is something that I find, it's so unbelievable to me that I go, okay, you know, I want to check some of this. And does anybody out there who's downloading this, because honestly, I do have a pretty good demographic, is this legit or is this all just some, you know, fabricated FUD here? I need a reality check on this thing called Anna. They call her Anna. This is from the article. They call her Anna. She is a role model to some, a goddess to others, the subject of drawings, prayers, and even a creed. She tells them what to eat and mocks them when they don't lose weight. And yet, she's a very real presence in the lives of many of her followers. She exists only in their minds. Anna is short for anorexia, and to the alarm of experts, many who suffer from the potentially fatally eating disorder are part of an underground movement that promotes self-starvation and, in some cases, almost a cult-like appeal. Followers include young women and teens who wear red Anna bracelets and offer one another encouraging words of thinspiration on webpages and blogs. They share tips for shedding pounds and faithfully report their CW or GW, current weight and goal weight, which often falls into the double digits. They also post pictures of celebrity role models, including teen stars Lindsay Lohan and Mary-Kate Olsen, who last year set aside their acting career and merchandising empire she shares with her twin sister to seek help for her own eating disorder. Put on your Anna bracelet and raise your skinny fist in solidarity, one pro-Anna blogger wrote shortly after Olsen entered treatment. The movement has flourished on the web, but eating disorders experts say, despite attempts to limit Anna's online presence, it has now grown to include followers, many of them young, in many parts of the world. That's the end of the article that I've got here. It goes on, blah, 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 blah. Now, Anna is, I threw out the whole server thing there. And if you had a choice between, Anna and server, I would probably go with server because I don't think server actually puts any expectations out there. I'm going to be writing about that a lot in the new book. But I look at this and go, wow, that's really fucking stupid. Like, this is the dumbest goddamn thing I've ever seen. Further to that, I mean, they should be really easy to spot, shouldn't they? I mean, they got these red fucking bracelets on, don't they? And generally, when you see someone who's anorexic, it's pretty fucking obvious that they're anorexic. Why? Because they look like a death camp victim. You know what I'm saying? So if they are anorexic and they do have a problem, yes, by all means. But what the fuck? I've never heard of this. I've never had anyone email me about this. I get a lot of email from young people. I've never even heard of this thing. Is this thing even real? Or is this something that's been put out onto the internet to try to vilify the internet, to try to vilify young groups of people trying to get together and communicate? That would be, the other idea behind this. So if anybody knows anything about this, please give me an email at newsreel@rantradio.com. Because, wow, if that is real, boy, would I ever like to declare war on that particular internet god. If real, server will fuck you over, Anna. Cyberpunk kit. More cyberpunk kit. Now, this is an interesting thing. This is out for a while ago, but it was sent to me by a gas mask-wearing Vulgan. The Pepper Ball. Now, this is essentially a paintball that's loaded with capsium spray that they're saying they can use on for law enforcement purposes. From the fast-acting and most effective pepper spray on the market today to patented Pepper Ball systems and shotgun deployment impact plus 12-gauge less lethal rounds, Pepper Ball products help to mitigate risk and decrease liability while enhancing the safety of your sworn officers. Wow, there's some really good rah-rah stuff there, eh? Pepperball Technologies' exclusive PAVA pepper irritant can be delivered by aerosol spray canisters or combined with impact when you employ Pepperball's launchers or Impact Plus. These products utilize a unique technology called Chemnetics to effectively gain suspect compliance in one-to-one or one-to-many non-lethal use of force situations. So this is essentially another reason to buy yourself a really good gas mask. Now, the best gas mask on the market today, I believe, is put out by the Canadians. Really nice. You can drink with it. Very, very cool. Wear glasses with some of them underneath. But you should probably get yourself some combat specs to do that with. But they're pretty comfy. And, they can work. And generally, it would take a piece of kit like this and completely make it non-effective. Not only that, but, throwing paintballs in paintball, usually on a field, okay, you have those paintballs chrono. They're not allowed to generally put paintballs on a field firing faster than 300 feet per second. Okay, that's usually about the limit. And then you got these illegal guys who, go out and try to play tough, and they crank it up to 450, 500 feet per second, so they're taking bark off trees and shit like that, which I've never really understood. I prefer airsoft to paintball myself because, well, paintball leaves great big goddamn welts on you. So what they're talking about here is firing paintballs loaded with a toxin into a crowd of non-goggle wearing people. Okay, so do you see the capabilities for maiming and blindness here? Generally, if you catch a paintball in the bare eye, even if you're doing 300 feet per second, your eye is fucking done. Okay, you are now blind. Thanks for coming out. And good luck trying to get any sort of compensation for that, because it's just not going to happen, okay? I'm very concerned with the amount of non-lethal kit. It's like we gave all the cops tasers, and I can agree with giving cops tasers because it gives them another tool. But now, it seems to me that a lot of cops are getting pretty shock-happy with the fucking tasers. It's like, you know, that's the first thing they go for. They pull out this taser rather than trying to talk a guy down or whatever. Now, granted, you know, when you're on the street, there's a lot of scumbags out there, and it's a problem, you know? But, you know, what if everybody starts using the paintball guns and the pepper ball and all these other less than lethal force with the same tenacity that they're losing that they're using tasers? That's a problem. That can be something where it turns into a training issue so that you don't get power-tripping, angry cops who are just frustrated with their life and environment. Just kind of an idea. Now, here is arguably the scariest, well, no, it's not the scariest story of the day because I got another story that's equally as scary. They're scary on so many different levels. No Delete found some slave labor news. Do you need workers for your company, for your big core political? Japan's penal system has the answer, and it's prison labor. The Justice Ministry began advertising its captive labor supply on its website this year in hopes of getting more company work orders as the prison population rises. Holy sweet thundering fuck. The advertisement, started in March, praises the benefits of labor in prison, outlines the type of products available, and provide links and phone numbers for companies to call to employ prisoners in a slave labor method. Making prisoners have a regular work life helps them maintain their mental and physical health, nurture a labor spirit, whatever the fuck that means, and promote a disciplined lifestyle, the website says. Uh-huh. So, high-tech slave labor gulags are good. Is that what you're trying to get at here? 8-hour workdays are part of nearly all prisoner sentences in Japan, and the country's largest prisons can have dozens of factories making shoes, wooden toys, and other goods. No. We don't want sweatshop labor. We want prison labor. That way, when a guy smokes a joint, he can go and make no money and be in prison. And pretty soon, you know what happens after 8 to 10 years of that shit? You're institutionalized, meaning you have no idea. Because think about how much life has changed in the last 8 fucking years. Last 8 years, how much has it changed? How much has the internet changed? How much has technology changed? Okay? What if you were to go on hold and be, you know, sort of frozen for 8 years while you did prison labor? Okay? What kind of shape are you going to be when you come in, when you come out? If you want to take a slight risk offender and turn them into a hardened felon, put them in jail. Okay, but now you can see how America is going to follow Japan's lead on this. And if you don't think they are, you're on crack. They're already starting to do it. Dell was doing it. Dell was building computers with prison labor. This is terrifying. But job orders are declining because of the weak economy and outsourcing and production abroad, dropping 40% between 1998 and 2004 to the 7.2 billion yen, or equivalency of 63 million U.S. Meanwhile, the number of inmates sentenced to prison terms plus labor has surged 50% over the same period to 61,000 in 2004. So it could be beneficial for judges to send people to prison labor because that way they work, right? You did something wrong. You're in debt. You were caught copying files. You broke copyright. Well, now not only do you get to copy files, you get to build computers that other people copy files on. I don't really know what the answer is on a situation like this, but I promise you that this is not it. There is just way too much opportunity for abuse here. And honest to God, if the people are already in the cages, I mean, some of these new prisons, have you seen these fucking things? Okay, the difference between prisons and schools is getting less and less. Some of these new prisons are like, well, they're slave camps. The concentration camp, I enter the name, is still a concentration camp, okay? And yeah, it's a forced labor camp. I don't give a fuck what you call it. It's a forced labor camp. People say to me, Sean, I can't believe you're into capital and corporal punishment. That sounds so incredibly negative. That sounds so barbaric to have capital punishment. Well, you know, I would say that rather than, you know, exploiting people as slave labor, I would rather just simply kill the sex offenders and pedophiles and you know, multiple murderers. Just murder those fuckers and, you know, either farm out their organs to whatever. You know, because that would be, you know, save some lives, make up for them taking lives or destroying lives. And generally, you know, if someone's being a dick and they're being a dick outside of a bar, maybe a round on a taser isn't that bad of an idea. It's definitely cheaper, and it prevents this sort of a monstrosity where you've got prison labor. Scare the fuck out of me much. Now, I got another toxic alert here. Here's some equally as scary as a prison labor. It's just a study involving a few rats with fertility problems in Pullman, but the findings could lead to fundamental changes in how we look at environmental toxins, cancer, heritable diseases, genetics, and the basics of evolutionary biology. Now, this is one of these stories that should be on a lead role, but it's not. Now, listen to this. If a pregnant woman is exposed to a pesticide at the wrong time, the study suggests, okay, this is what the study has found, but they're saying suggest, her children, grandchildren, and the rest of her descendants could inherit the damage and diseases caused by the toxin, even if it doesn't involve genetic mutation. Okay, so when you realize that it affects future generations and doesn't go away, then, you know, as more people breed, you see how this could become a real problem? As so often happens in science, we just stumbled onto this, says Dr. Michael Skinner, director of the Center for Reproductive Biology at Washington State University. I'm surprised he got it out even to a point where I could report on this, because you know this is the kind of thing that's just going to get swept under the rug. Skinner's team at WSU and colleagues from several other universities report in today's Science magazine on what they believe to be the first demonstration and explanation of how a toxin-induced disorder in a pregnant female can be passed on to children and succeeding generations without changes to her genetic code or DNA. Very, very scary. Okay? Non-altering DNA mutations? This is the kind of thing that people are going to try to find, because that would make it hard to track, especially if you were to put some sort of an addiction to a particular chemical in a food group, say, so that, you know, future generations would be hooked on Coke? I don't know, just being evil off the top of my head. We were quite surprised. We've been sitting on this for a few years. Let me read that again. We were quite surprised. We've been sitting on this for a few years, said Skinner, who's expected to present his findings today at scientific meetings in San Diego. So you knew about it for a couple of years. A couple of years. So, like, why the fuck wouldn't you go public with this? Any particular reason why you're not telling people that toxins could be affecting their children and fucking over complete genetic lines? Is there any possible reason why that you would hold on to that? Keep it back, you know? You're worried about your findings not being correct? Well, I guess that's not the case, because, you know, you're putting the findings out now. I would say that's negligent to the point of being criminal to hold on to information like that. I cannot believe that scientists can get that fucking evil. You know, really. And I got a little story that I got sent to me from NoDelete from Sumerian, okay? It has to do with advertising in school textbooks. Okay, I'll try to get through this without foaming at the mouth. The first thing Tammy Zybuck sees when she wakes up and peels the curtain backs in her Ryerson University dormitory room is the sea of flashing, dazzling billboards that pepper Toronto's downtown skyline. Unless, of course, you get those sunglasses we covered in the previous show that allow you to augment your reality so it can take away billboards. But, you know, that's $1,500. Please check previous shows. Damn it. I couldn't get through the show without foaming at the mouth. So I'm going to try that again. So she opens up the curtains, sees dazzling billboards and Toronto's downtown skyline. But from then on, the 21-year-old says she spends the rest of her day being targeted by ads in subways, storefronts, even in the woman's washroom at Ryerson, which features ads alongside hand dryers and on the inside of toilet stalls. Which, incidentally, every guy knows that when you go stand by a urinal, you're standing right in front of an ad. The classroom is one of the few advertising-free zones for Zybuck and Canada's other 785,000 university and college students. Perhaps not for long. For the past several months, McGraw-Hill Ryerson Limited, one of the country's largest publishers of university textbooks, has been quietly trying to coax companies into buying advertising space in their texts. Reach a hard-to-get target group while they spend all their parents' money, says one McGraw-Hill brochure touting its planned ads. Do you really think 18 to 24-year-olds see those on-campus magazine ads? Do you really think they could miss an ad that's placed very well in a very well-respected textbook? You know, this is why people... I got one more line to get through, and then I'm through this. The Whitby-based publisher, which has made presentations about its prospective textbook ads to more than a dozen advertising agencies, says in a brochure that ads can be purchased nationally or regionally, and it can be so targeted you can even buy a specific major. So, Drug companies can put ads in doctors' textbooks where they're supposed to be learning about how to treat disorders. Now, what do you suppose the pharma fascism industry is going to do when they get this sort of opportunity presented to them? Wow, allow me to discredit my entire university by advertising. This is so fucking deranged, it just boggles my mind, you know? And people have the balls to teach ethics in school, like the concept of business ethics. I think you even get into a bar exam or do any kind of business work, you have to pass an ethics class. Like, you know, if you're going to be doing shit like this, honest to God, why even bother teaching ethics, you know? Stop pissing on my back and telling me it's raining, please. Please, okay? It's all over. Everybody just gives a fuck about the dollar. That's what it's about. It's not about anything else other than the almighty buck. And when you're putting advertisings in education, at what point do you draw the line where you can't tell the difference between the advertising and the education? Because you know the ad designers are going to make it look like it's part of the goddamn textbook. That way, getting a higher mind share. Sick and fucking weird. Now, in the Daily Hacks, I've got a do-it-yourself Gauss rifle, but it's only the basics. This is a very simple toy that uses a magnetic chain reaction to launch a steel marble at a high speed. The toy, is very simple to build, going together in minutes, and very simple to understand and explain, yet fascinating to watch and use. This is the kind of thing you can show your little brother to show him how to prepare for building himself his very own glitter boy. And I've got another piece of tech here, Uber Troubleshooter for PCs bike from Crazy Wolf. God sent this one in. You've come to the best place on the internet, the internet, the ultimate source of online self-help and the home of computer support, answersthatwork.com. Very, very cool website. If you go there, very minimal, only what you need, nothing that you don't. And if you're one of these kind of people who, even if you know somebody and you don't want to get roped into being tech support for the rest of your life, well, hook them up with this website. Get them teaching themselves. And once they learn how to teach themselves, there's no limit to what they can do. You know, it's kind of like that show a man or give a man a fish, show a man to fish, that kind of a thing. Very good idea. And that's all I got for you today. But do not worry. I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to lose your freaking mind. I mean, stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in this time of crisis. Those people are Forleet, Alan, Drew, Weissamaru, the Gary Ghost, Drake. Pardon me. Let's try that again. Forleet, Alan, Drew Weissamaru, Gray Ghost, Drake, WebLife, Philip, Paradin, Robert, Jesse, Andrew, Michael, Malik, and User, and Christopher, New, Derek, Jesse, Joseph, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Brandon, Jason, Matthew, Mainframe, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Matt, Evan, Austin, David, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Charles, Philip, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Host Mojo, Matt, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, and Brandon. They love me. They really love me. New subscribers this month, the people who were part of the whole cavalry situation, those who lent their support, were Ed, Jennifer, Palmer, Art, Kevin, Michael, Dennis, Jesse, Matthew, and Jason. Thank you so much, everyone who's donated. You know, you're really providing a service not only to me, but to the rest of the world. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca, click on the donate tab. Every little bit helps. Special thanks to all the hard net runners who got me the data today. I mentioned you with the show. And to everyone, who's with their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, check out the album, pick it up, but it's from a band called Chaotica, and the album is called Turbocharger. Very, very cool. Now, I'm going to leave you with a killer track that got sent into me, and I was thinking about whether or not I was going to play this, but you know, they mentioned storytelling in here, and honest to God, the thing I can do with After Now, you know, the ability to do the theater of the mind stuff with After Now, I really do attest to the fact that I have, you know, Celtic blood coming from the Maritimes. So this is a track called The Maritimes by a band known as The Classified. And until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
I'm from the East Coast of Canada, home of the bagpipe. Known for the fiddle players, beer, and our keg price. Known for Alexander Keith and the Donair. Home of the moose heads, but I don't really go there. We pay a buck for a liter of gas. Damn. Smokes cost $10 a pack. Damn. We always mix our tobacco with weed. It's just the way we always done it. Shit is natural to me. So let me tackle the beat, then unravel the scene and let you people know what you never travel to see. We got battle MCs, we got storytellers, and we got awful MCs and corny motherfuckers. We got everything you wanna hear. Conscious to backpack, commercial to gangster, R&B to abstract, grunge to rock, classical to country. So many artists working, but no one making money. Welcome to the East Coast, home of the innocent. Still pigeonholed as a farmer, a fisherman. No major league teams, baseball or hockey, no urban radio, just country and pop beats. I'm trying to shake these stereotypes, so give me space, please. Let me air with my life. I don't even eat fish. Shit, I never tried lobster. Can't play the fiddle and never was a logger.
Swimming cleanly.
Yeah, and enjoy cool breezes. But Halifax Harbor's like swimming in diseases. We only known for adding Green Gables, coal mines, the Blue Nose, the PEI potatoes, the Maritimes. It's better than that. We living in another time, so dead with that. We got Universal Soul, and Buck 65, and the whole CTG, and of course classified. We got Backburner, Good Night, Alpha Flight, Lockdown, Mike Boy, First Word, Trobis, Helltown, and a million other artists trying to get their flow heard. And let you know that we still working on these old skirts. We trying to blow like Halifax Explosion, or maybe Anne Marie, I know she's Nova Scotian. A hurricane one blowing from the ocean. Either way it goes, I'm still repping for my coast, man. And that's how we do it down here. At least that's how you think we do it down here. You know, we all pile in the kitchen, do it like this.
Welcome to the Maritimes.